time for us to learn. Higiazman. So first of all, we have to give a mazal tov to Harriet, because she really beats us all. So this is a new great, a new great-grandson here in Eretz Yisrael. We know that Harriet has a fifth generation, and she's going to have a bar mitzvah of a great-grandson in New York. And so, Harriet, we wish you mazel, and we wish you nachat, and we wish you gesund, and yiddish and nachat, and may it be the same to all of us, for every one of us, okay? We're learning Zecharia. I'll give you something to think about, even though it's too early, okay? I was just talking to Dov about it. As I feel myself, as we're preparing and learning Zecharia, I think that, you know, we're getting close to the end of our study of Nevi'im. And I can't decide what would be more exciting, to finish that last pasuk in Malachi and say, okay, open Sefer Yoshua, and we'll start all over again with Nevi'im, or to do Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah. So that's a choice. I know that it makes more sense to do Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, because they are neglected. They are the neglected, especially Ezra, Nehemiah, the neglected Sfarim. Daniel is neglected because he's so scary and hard. But you want me to talk into the mic or rather some other such activity? Okay. But at any rate, the urge to go from Malachi back to Yahushua is overwhelming. And maybe we would learn a little, you know? But at any rate,
we'll finish the other three and then go back.
Okay, Amir Tashem. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us strength and gesund and all those good things, we would just... We have to aim for the good stuff. We have to aim for some good learning. That's the point that we do right here. Okay. All righty. So let us look. I think that we had just begun Perek Yud. We just made a beginning. And remember that Zecharia in these prakim is really discussing what's going to happen when there really will be a geula. And we're coming to the time that there really will be a geula. And remember, we had some psukim that had a double meaning. There was a prediction of things that would take place during the time of Bayit Sheni. And there was a prediction of something taking place at the time of the geula. In other words, one pasuk we understood in both ways as being like the victory of the Chashmonaim during Bayit Sheni, and then of course later on the victory in the battles of Gog Magog during the times of the Geula, during the times of Mashiach. And the interesting thing that we noted, and it will happen again, is that when Zecharia was hinting, or when the Malbim was explaining what Zecharia was hinting at, when he spoke about Yehuda, it was the Bayit Sheni. When he was speaking about the Geula times, it was Ephraim. It was the idea of the fact that the Aseret HaShvatim, Yisrael, would at that time have returned, have been reunited, and the battles of Gog Magog, as we mentioned last week, will take place after Kibbutz Galiot. So Kibbutz Galiot first with the Aseret HaShvatim, and then the battles of Gog Magog. At any rate, Perek Yud. Shalu me'Hashem matar, we did this pasuk. Ask from Hashem rain, be'et malkosh, at the time of the malkosh. In other words, ask from Hashem a strong rain, the revivim, at the time of the malkosh, the time of the soft rains. Hashem oseh chazizim, and the minute you're going to ask Hashem for rain, He's going to make clouds. It's going to happen right away. Umatar geshem yitain lahem le'ish. And he'll give you a rain even if it's only one man that needs it. Everybody else has enough water, and this one man, for some reason, his field hasn't gotten enough irrigation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give rain. Esev besadeh, and even if one leaf of grass needs a little bit of moisture, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide. This is, of course, in the time of the Geula. Ki hatrafim dibru oven. One of the things that we're going to remember and realize at that time, in the time of the Geula, is that all of the magic that people would do to look into the future were false. They spoke falsely. Hatrafim, the idols, a specific type of idol. Remember Rachel stole her father's trefim? I'm just going to take a little sip. Vahakosmim chazu sheker. And the magicians saw visions that were false. Vahachalomot shav yidaberu. And the dream spoke falsely. In other words, the dream spoke of nothing that was true. Hevel yinachemun. They got comfort, couldn't think of a nice English word, for nothing. Hevel, for nothing at all. Alkei nasu kamotzon. That's why they ran around, they traveled like sheep. In other words, sheep following a shepherd unthinkingly. Ya'anu ki ein ro'eh. They followed whoever spoke. They answered because there wasn't a true shepherd. And I want to read the Malbim Bavakasha. Okay, so ki, this is the Malbim, not in the text. Lo yismachu od al hakochot hativiot. They're not going to rely anymore on all these natural strengths. Umaaseh hatal masaot v'darkeya itztagninim, and the ways of the magicians that they were following, ki yakiru, because they will recognize, ki atrafim dibru oven v'hakosmim. What does that tell us? That's what they used to follow. They would go to people who would claim to be able to read the signs of nature. That's what the Malbim is saying, right? Hamagidim atidot al pi hakesem dibru sheker. Those people that told the future spoke falsely. If you remember, at the time of Yirmiyahu, at the time just before the Chorban of the first Beit HaMikdash, there were a lot of Nevi'ei sheker. A huge amount of Nevi'ei Sheker at that time. And the people were following them because, as it says here, Hevel Yenachemun, they got comfort from words that meant nothing. And it should remind you of when we were learning Yirmiyahu, and Yirmiyahu was telling the people that there would be a galut and they would go to Bavel. Even though he did say only 70 years, but there would be a galut, that there was I think his name was Hananya ben Yazur, somebody ben Yazur, who said, no, we're not going into Babel. We won't, we're going to stay right here, everything's going to be fine, everything's going to blow over. Just everything's going to be good, right? So cholmei chalamot sheyitu et ha'am b'havleihem, dreamers of dreams who misled the people with their nothingness, with their predictions that were nothing. V'oz, at this time that Zechariah is talking about, in the time of the Geula, yedu ki ein b'mamash. They will know that there's nothing specific, there's nothing true, there's nothing real in dreams and in the magic and in the potions and everything they did. Yes?
Does this include the bringing up the dead?
It definitely does. In other words, all of the mitonanim and the people that claim that they could take a bone and speak to the dead. And
well, because Shavuot, right?
Oh, God, yes. Yes. But Ki al kein al she'aminu b'havalim ha'eleh, the Malbim's not finished. Because they believed in these nothing, meaningless, there's the word, things. Nosu k'motzon, ki lo hayolahem ro'im maskilim. They did not have intelligent leaders. Ro'im, shepherds. They didn't have shepherds, leaders who were intelligent. Manhigim otam al pi ha-Torah v'haskel, leading them according to Torah and intelligence. Rak mavilim otam b'chalomot v'havalim v'divrei sheker. But they led them with dreams and foolishness, meaningless items, and words. It says dvarim harbei, a lot of words. V'hayu katzon asher ein lahem ro'en ne'eman. And they were like sheep that do not have a faithful shepherd. Yes, Chana Rachel.
Was he making a joke with the word masculine?
No. Oh, no. The way we take the word maskilim, because of the 18th century, middle 18th century, the group of people that call themselves maskilim, that's not what he's thinking of.
Wasn't it already in his time?
No.
Oh.
No. Maskilim, the way we use it with that slight negative connotation, is specifically a, you know, almost modern, it's not that long ago, group that started looking at the Torah. What did they call it? There's a word in German. In other words, the science of Torah. Yeah. I can't remember. There's a word in German. Something vision, something Kraft.
But her question, doesn't that relate to it? The Malbim was already starting with that.
Ah, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, that's what I thought she's referring to.
Are you referring to the fact that the Malbim lived at this time?
Yeah.
Oh.
That he knew about the Maskeers.
Okay.
That's when it was starting, and he was very much opposed to it.
Oh, of course.
That word,
he is
somehow
using it as a phrase.
It doesn't come into the Yitzchak, but it comes into his explanation.
See, this is what happens when you have people in your class who know twice as much as you do. This is a problem. Mm-hmm. At any rate, you are right, but I don't get a feeling that he's using the word here because he's saying Roim Ne'manim, who are leading them according to the Torah and the Heskel. I don't think here there's any
bad
twist or bad connotation. I don't feel, you know, you don't feel anything. He's saying the big problem they had at the end of the time of Bayit Rishon, look back, people, because remember, all these prokim, look back and see what made it happen. Is it you didn't have good leaders? It was a terrible problem that you had. But that was very clever. Thank you very much for your addition. It was really picking up something important. Something interesting happens now in Pasuk Gimel, because Rashi reads it one way, and the Malbim reads it another way. It's not a big difference, but I enjoy when there's this little, tiny difference. Let's look. Al haroim chara api. On those leaders, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the Navi, I was very angry. Chara api, I had a terrible anger. Va'al ha'atudim efkod. The aftudim are male sheep. In other words, if we're using the metaphor of ro'im, you know, shepherds, for the leaders, then the atudim are part of the flock, nachon? One specific part of the flock. Atudim, the males among the sheep, are like leaders. In other words, they take a leadership role. So I'm going to efkod, I'm going to take into account their actions. Ki pokad Hashem tzvakot et edro. Because Hashem now has remembered or taken into account his flock at Beit Yehuda, the house of Yehuda, v'sam otam kisus hodo v'milchama. I know, very strange, right, Martha? And he made them like a sus. A sus is a horse. He's making the sheep, excuse me, I didn't mean to squeak. He's making the sheep like a horse, hodo of his glory. Hod, hod, we know what hod is. Hod is glory, inner glory. But milchama, what are we talking about? Who is Hashem angry about? Right? The beginning of the Pasuk, he's angry at the Roim, and it seems at the Atudim as well. But he's then saying that he remembers and takes into account his flock, and he is going to make them like a horse that can fight, that has glory. A horse, there's something about a horse, that if it's a very well taken care of horse, it is beautiful. It's a beautiful animal, and it's an animal that really is able to fight, so it's beautiful and it's strong and it's capable, right? As somebody who's strong, capable, and able to do, and beautiful. So first I'm going to read you the Rashi, even though I did the Malbim first when I was preparing, but I'm going to read you the Rashi. Al haroim chara api, al malchei Nebuchadnezzar v'Sancheriv. According to Rashi, I got so angry at those kings that I was using as a tool to punish Am Yisrael, but went much further than any rules of battle and rules of proper, what would you call it, a just war. Rules of a just war. Va'al ha'atudim al sarehem. In other words, atudim, part of the flock, but yet they're leaders. V'chein tirgem Yonatan, slicha, right? Al malche hu rogze, he's angry at the kings. Va'al shiltanei ona misa'er, and I'm storming about their officers. Va'avodat kochavim shelahem nimshalu la'atudim. Their avodat kochavim are compared to the male sheep. Va'hatzvir va'hasair melech Antiochus. And this in parentheses he says Daniel. And I warned you about Daniel. In Daniel, a tzvir and a sair, the male sheep, are symbols of Greece, and specifically Antiochus, especially Antiochus the Fourth. V'harotzim l'faresha inyan shelo b'malchei akum yeomer ha'atudim. And Rashi says, but there are those who want to explain this, not talking about the foreign kings, when we're talking about the Malachim and the Atudim. Lashon sarim kamor orer l'charofim kol atudei aretz. It could be talking about sarim among the Jewish people that Hashem is angry about. And he's going to make them kisus. If this is not important, kisus asher yukar hodo b'milchama. I'm going to make them into a horse that is easily recognized. What Rashi is saying, b'kitzer, is Hashem is angry at the kings that he had appointed to punish Am Yisrael, specifically Sancheriv and Nebuchadnezzar, and on their sarim, atudim. But now he's remembering Yehuda, and they are no longer going to be like sheep, but rather he is going to turn them into a beautiful symbol of independence and strength and ability to fight for themselves like a horse. Okay, and they will be able to fight, right? The milchamot that will come up in the future. So that's thing one. But Rashi does tell us that there are other opinions, and those other opinions are that Hashem had been angry at the leaders of Am Yisrael and their sarim, but at a certain point, and we will read the Malbim to clarify that one, at a certain point, so to speak, now he, Pakad, takes everything into account, including the promises he made to the Avot, and so he's going to strengthen Yehuda so that they can once again be like a horse, right? Be like, and I'm not saying the horse in any way to make a joke, but like a strong, capable animal who can fight. Yes, Estelle.
So it's reminiscent like of Mitzrayim, where we supposed to go, it wasn't like a punishment, but to go to Mitzrayim, like told to Abraham, but yet the Mitzrayim went overboard, and the same
idea. The same idea. We were supposed to go into Mitzrayim. We were supposed to be slaves in Mitzrayim. But they went further than they were supposed to. I want to read the Malbim to clarify the other opinion, okay? Al kein hara api al haroim, he says, therefore, for that reason, I was angry at the Ro'im, and this follows the fact that they didn't have good Ro'im because the Ro'im were following the magicians and those who talked about Chalomot that were meaningless. Shehem ha-manhigim shelahem shehit'u et atzon. They are the leaders that misled the flock. Va'al ha'atudim, says Malbim, Shehem hasarim v'ha'ashirim v'ha'chazakim. They were the princes and the rich people and the strong people who also took advantage of the people. Remember all of the Nevi'im that talked about the graft and the not caring for the poor. Hosea, not caring for the poor. Taking hoy, Yeshayahu, hoy, hamagiye, bayit el bayit, people who tried to get all the land that they could, bringing their homes closer together.
Even
when the leaders were taken out, though, they had no more strength left. In other words, they were really nothing. Once the leaders were taken out... they took out the Choresh Masgir in the time of Yo-Yachin, and then it was just the 11 years of Tzidkiyahu, in which, sad, very sad 11 years. The leaders... are given, you know, the leaders, one funny thing about being a leader is that you're really supposed to lead the people. You're supposed to influence them.
As opposed to...
Let her finish.
Oh, sorry. The manhig is Kmeha Gol or something like
that? Yes.
The Gol gives the manhig is of
the zoo. What did you just say?
That the Gol is the kind of leaders that they deserve.
Ah, that's true too. That's true too. I hear you. What Marcel just said is the door gets the leaders that they deserve also. In other words, there is a symbiotic. There is a symbiotic action that goes on, you know. The door doesn't get good leaders if they don't deserve it. On the other hand, if you take a leadership role, remember that you really do have a responsibility. And that's what he's pointing out.
No, you said... the leaders are supposed to lead, as opposed to what? What were they doing?
What they were doing was misleading. In other words, they didn't follow Torah. They followed magicians and people who made them feel good, that yinachem, people that comforted them and said, doesn't matter if Nebuchadnezzar is right outside the gates of Yerushalayim. You know, it's going to all go away. Everything's going to be fine. That was what was going on. So he's saying, Hinani al Haroim, he says in Yechezkel. Yechezkel also talks about the leaders, Hinani al Haroim. Hinani shofet bein selaseh le'elim ula'atudim. And I'm going to judge each of the individual here. You're going to like this, Marcel. not just the leaders, but I'm also going to judge each individual sheep and each individual one of the leadership, the male sheep. Why? Ki pakad, right? Efkod, kamosha katuv in Yecheskel, right? In anisho fate, being selaseh, ki pakad Hashem et edro, kamosha katuv, vidorashti et soni ubikartim. He's reminding us that Yecheskel spoke very much like this. Towards the end, I'm going to seek out my sheep. I'm going to examine them. I'm going to see who were the ones that were more reliable, who were the ones that did the right thing. Visamotam kisus, and I'll make them like a horse. Tachat shehayut son nichnaim, rather than being pressed down, right? Subdued sheep. Yit damu kisus shehodo mitra eva milchama. They will be compared to a horse whose glory, whose beauty you see in war. Shasham yireg vurotav kocho. During the war, you really see his courage and his strength. Kain yitrae kocham b'milchamot Gog u'Magog. At that time, they will be able to fight like a horse, and it will be obvious, it will be seen like a horse looks beautiful in war. That's what the two.
I'm just wondering, is saying, Caesar, what's so terrible about giving people comfort that's not true? I mean, if they is such a. The only thing they do is that then they're not so motivated to do true because they're not so scared.
That's the big problem. That's the big one, because they weren't motivated, because the whole thing, when Yirmiyahu said the king is coming, Nebuchadnezzar, he also said, it's never too late. Never too late. Even, you know, you can avert part of the catastrophe, if not the entire catastrophe, by Shuvu. Shuvu. El Hashem. Exactly. Pasuk Dalet, back to the text a little bit. Mimenu pina. Mimenu yated. Mimenu keshet milchama. Very strange, but it's all illusion. It's illusion. I'm going to make them like a horse, strong in war, and I'm going to make them independent and capable. They will get their leadership from their own ranks. The pina is like an Evan pina, cornerstone, right? The important stone in a building. Mimenu yated. What's a yated? It's the tent peg, but doesn't the tent rely? In other words, you need a tent peg to hold up the tent. To anchor it. You cannot have a tent without the pegs, right? Mimenu keshet milchama. The bows of war will come from him. He won't need help from outside forces, meaning Am Yisrael. Mimenu yetzei kol noges yachdav. And from him, from Am Yisrael at that time, all opposition, all enemies will go out together.
Mimenu, could you go through that?
Mimenu? I'm going to.
How does Mimenu fit?
From him. Mimenu. From him will come the Pina, from him, from Yehuda. Here, Mimenu Pina HaPinahu, we're going to the Malbim. HaPinahu HaEven Shehu HaYisod V'Rosh B'Binyan HaBayit. When we're saying Pina, we really mean Even Pina. The cornerstone, there's another word for it, right? Even Ma'asu HaBonim Hayita. What do we say? L'Rosh Pina, right? V'hu Mashal El HaMelech. I like what the Malbim says here. It is a metaphor for the king. In other words, he is going to rule himself. The kings will come from within Am Yisrael. They're not going to be no foreign kings. V'hayoteid hu ha-machazik et ha-ohel. That's what holds up the tent. Shaha'ohel hu mashal moshav haro'eh shehu ha'kohen. So the Yated, he says, is the king, and the Yated is the sign of the Kohen who holds up the Ohel, which is like Ohel Moed, right? The place, the sanctuary, right? The place of Hashem, who a Kohen, O Rosh HaSanhedrin, Haroweh Otam B'inyanei Hadat, who leads them in the ways of religion. So you have the political leader, the king, and you have the religious leader, the Kohen, or the head of the Sanhedrin, and both of them are from Am Yisrael. No foreign power will impose their rule on them. Ukmo shekatuv utekativ yatei bimkom ne'eman. I'm going to pitch him, the tent, meaning, with a yateid, with a tent peg, in a trustworthy place. Also Yechezkel. Shel umat ze yitzuar hamalchut bitziyur habayit, and that's why the kingdom is a house, and the kohen, the religious leader, is the ohel. Kmo shekatuv ki bayit yaaseh lecha Hashem, like in Shmuel Bet, when Hashem says to David, right, you're not going to build the Beit HaMikdash, but I'm going to make you a bayit. And what does it mean there? The bayit's a dynasty, right? V'ratzalomar hamelech umore hadat, the king and he who teaches religion, yetzu mimenu, will come out of the proper places of Am Yisrael, lo kemo bebayit sheni. Not like what happened in Bayit Sheni, Shenit Manu Alpi Malchei Paras, the Yavan, because the kings and the Kohen Gadol were very often appointed, having nothing to do with any kind of deserving quality, or any kind of leadership quality, or any kind of coming from the right dynasty. They did not. The Romei Shehayu kvushim tachteihem, they were conquered by them and they were under their thumb. V'gam mimenu keshet milchama, not only that, but the ability to fight, the bow of war. Lo yitzterchu le'ezer amim acherim b'milchamotam, they won't need the help of other nations in their fights. Ki agiborim shelahem yiyu mitocham, because their strong men will be from among the people. Va'al zeh mimenu yetzei kol noges yachdav shelo yimshalu od zarim aleihem. All of those who oppressed them, who ruled over them, will leave. They're all going to go together because they will no longer be needed in any way. Okay. From Yehuda or Yisrael, all of Yisrael, Mimenu, from the nation. Beit Yehuda, Edro at Beit Yehuda, Vesamotam Kisus, exactly. Hey, Vahayuk Giborim Bosim Betit Chutzot. And they're going to be so victorious. It's going to be like Giborim, strong men who are trampling mud. In other words, they'll go over their enemies. They'll trample their enemies like horses trample through mud. It holds their hooves a little bit, but they smush right through it, correct? But milchama, when they fight, they're going to be like Giborim going through mud. All the enemies will be like nothing. V'nilchamu ki Hashem imam. And they will fight because Hashem is with them. V'hovishu roch ve'susim. And they will shame all those other nations who come to fight them, who ride on horses. And it's really it's just a picture, right? Hagam shelo yiyu lahem rechev v'sus Yehiyu b'milchama k'giburim ha'holchim ragli. They'll be like strong men who are walking on foot and going through mud. In other words, the enemies will be as soft, put up as little opposition as mud. Baraglehem uvacholze yilochamu. They will still be able to fight successfully and victoriously, and shame those who were riding on all their chariots and their horses.
We had a common which Navid, Daniel maybe, the white horses and the red horses and the...
That's him, Zechariah. That's it. That's Zechariah, the first parak, remember? Ra'iti. Zechariah with the horses, Ra'iti, remember? Ra'iti halayla. It's right after the introduction, after he tells us who he is, then he goes into his dreams, Ra'iti halayla. We forgot about the beginning of Zechariah with all his visions. Ra'iti alayla. And he saw it twice. Remember, I think it was the first vision and the fifth was also horses. V'gibarti et Beit Yehuda v'et Beit Yosef Oshia. Here we go again. Gibarti is like I make them giborim. I don't think it's a proper usage, but that's okay. The Navi got permission from a pretty good teacher. Right, v'gibarti, I made giborim, I gave them gevura, Beit Yehuda. And Beit Yosef Oshia, I will save them. V'hoshavtim, and I will bring them back and settle them. Ki richamtim, because I had compassion on them. Remember, Haben Yakir li Ephraim. Im yelet shashuim ki mide dabri bo rachem arachmenu. Every time I speak about him, Ephraim, the Aseret HaShvatim, I have compassion. It's exactly what he's saying here. Ki rechamtim, I'm going to bring them back. V'hayu kasher lo zanachtim, and it's going to be as though I never abandoned them. Ki ani Hashem Elokeihem, because I am Hashem the God, ve'e'enem, and I will answer them. And so the Malbim says, v'gibarti et Beit Yehuda, I'm going to make them giborim, shehem chaloshim v'nidkaim, because right now they are weak and they are very put down. So agaber otam, I will make them strong. Ve'et Beit Yosef Shehem Giborim Rakhem Nidachim Va'ovdim. They have the ability to be strong. Ephraim was a very strong Shevet. I'm going to bring them back because they're lost. They're strong, but they're lost. Oshia, I will save them and I'll bring them back. El Mekomam Le'eret Yisrael. Ve'hem Shehishlachtim Me'al Admatam Ba'af uvechema v'zanachti otam. And you know who they are, he says? They are the people that I chased off their land and I sent them into far-off nations and totally abandoned them. But now, richamtim. But now I have compassion for hayu kasher lo zanachtim, and I'm going to bring them back to their former position, as though I never abandoned them. Ki agam she'adata lo hayiti Eloheihem v'lo paniti el tfilatam. Because until now I didn't act like I was their God. And I didn't turn to their tfilah. Ata ani Hashem Elokeihem mashkiach aleihem. Now I am going to be their God and watch over them ve'e'enem. And I will answer their tefillot. V'hayu k'gibor Ephraim, v'samach libam k'mo yayin, uvneihem yiru v'samechu yageel libam b'Hashem. I love the psukim that have the different words for simcha, because it reminds us that there's a lot of different reasons to be happy and ways to be happy. So the Gila always is like when something happens that you don't expect. So gil is like, wow, surprise. Simcha is satisfaction. Things are going the way they should go. That's simcha. Simcha is going the way it should, and gil is that excitement. And then we also put in kamo yayin, right? That good feeling, that really good feeling that wine can give you. That's also part of what's going to happen at that time. And so the Malbim explains to us, for hayu kegibor Ephraim, aseret hashvatim, in case we don't know who he's talking about, the 10 tribes, nichlalu b'shem Ephraim, were brought together under the name Ephraim, hem yit oreru az bigvura lilchom milchamat Hashem. They are going to come together with great strength to fight the wars of Hashem. V'samach libam kamo yayin, yit orer simcha b'libam. Remember, simcha is a sense of satisfaction. You're doing your job. So this simcha will be awakened in the heart. K'simcha hamit oreret al yedei shtiyat hayayin. Like that simcha that you get right after you make kiddush and it's Shabbos afternoon, and you know that right after you eat, you're going to go to sleep. Right? And it's going to be quiet. The phone won't ring, right? All those nice things. So it's that kind of feeling, a feeling that you are where you belong, you are doing what you should do, everything is in its place. Uvnehem, and their children, hador she'achar hador hahu, the generation after the generation that was brought back and remembered of the Aseret HaShvatim, lo yitzterchu od lemilchama. They won't have to fight the milchamot Hashem. Rak yiru hatshua shehoshati lavotam. But they will see the tshua that I saved their fathers with. V'samchu b'simchat midit. And firstly, they will have that sense of satisfaction, simcha, with a constant, midid is all the time constant, al hachua ha'avra, on the chua that passed, v'gam yagel libam, they're also going to have gila, their hearts will rejoice, gila chadasha b'chol eit b'shem. They'll keep on rejoicing all the time because the miracles of Hashem will continue. And every time it'll be like something new. Al yidei hanisim sheyit chadesh Hashem lahem. Because Hashem will keep on renewing more and more miracles. Va'al yidei hahofa'a ha'elokit sheyit vasef tamid. And Hashem's hofa'ah, appearance, in other words, the feeling that Hashem is with them, that will continue on a regular basis. Shezeh geder hagil. The Malbim as a teacher is coming in. This is the definition of the word gil, sheba al davar mitchadesh. Gil comes rejoicing on something that's constantly new and renewing, where you feel that there's more and more simcha on top of simcha. That's gila. Eshra kalahem. I'm going to whistle to them. Va'akabtzeim. It's such an incredible picture. Get this picture. I'm going to gather the Aseret HaShvatim, but I'm going to blow a whistle, right, like a referee in a basketball game who wants everybody to come together, and he takes out his whistle and he goes, right? I'm going to whistle.
The
Pied Piper, okay. I'm going to whistle va'akabtzeim, and I will gather them. Ki peditim, because I have redeem them. V'ravu kamo ravu, and they are going to multiply again and again, or they are going to multiply like they multiplied back in the old days when they were living in their places. Va'ezra'em ba'amim uva'merchakim yiskruni. Very strange pasuk. We have to really understand that. V'chayu et b'nehem v'shavu. Ezra'em, I will seed them. Right? Zera is seed. Bagoyim. Try to think of what he's saying. In other words, when they're still among the nations, they're going to be like a seed. A seed grows. Nachon? Uba'merchakim yakiruni. And from fayizkaruni. And they'll remember me from wherever they are far away. And they will raise their children. They will keep their children alive so that they can come back and return. And so he has a very interesting contrast here. He's saying, Ezra'em ba'goyim, ba'amim, slicha, gam ele mibnei Yehuda, sha'al yedei hashmadot, Nasogu me Hashem, vehit arvu ba'amim. Take a deep breath. Even those people who throughout history, because of here hashmadot, it's the way we use the term shmad, forced conversion. He's not talking about plain destruction. He's not talking about they're just being killed. All of those, he says, I know that there are a lot of Jews throughout the centuries that have seemed to have been lost to us because of the Shmad when they were forced to convert. They nasogu me Hashem, they turned away from Hashem, v'hit arvu ba'amim. And they assimilated among all of the nations. Yidmu kamo zri'ah. They're going to be like seeds. Sha'al yedei sh'terakev hazera ba'aretz. You know what happens when you put a seed in the ground? It rots. You don't see the seed after a while. You know, if you put seeds in the ground, then go back a couple of days later and you can hardly find the seeds because they're starting to change and grow. So what the Navi is saying is all those people that disappeared through Shmad and who turned away and assimilated into the other nations, it's going to be as though they disappeared the way seeds that you put into the ground disappear, because the seeds disappear when they're getting ready to sprout. In other words, he's saying, Shatirkav hazera ba'aretz, the seeds rots in the land, v'titzmach beribui kefalim, and then it doubles, right? And it grows and it doubles. Ben al yadam yitvasfu goyim rabim, kein la sheyakiru data emet. And not only them, but the nations around them will gather to them and all together recognize the true religion, ad sheyihiyu kizriya, until it'll be just like you planted a seed in order for it to disappear in the earth and then grow. And in other words, they'll double and triple and affect all of the plantings around them. Ki gamba merchakim, I see that you have your hand up, Dov. Even though they will still be far away, they will recognize me. Shehagam shegufam yihyu rechokim mimeni, their bodies will be far from me. Belibam yiskeru emunata achdut. In their heart, they will remember the true religion and the unison, v'lo yamutu mitat hanefesh, and their souls will not die. Their bodies might, but their souls will not. Lo heim velo b'neihem asher yolidu, not them and not the children that they will give birth to. Ki yachdav im b'neihem yashuvu. Eventually, with their children, they will return. So try to think of the imagery that the Navi is telling us here. He's saying, in case you're worried about all the Jews through the centuries that seemingly have disappeared, because wherever they were, there were forced conversions. We had so many people that we lost throughout the centuries because of the forced conversions. And after a while, it might seem that they and their families have totally disappeared from Yahadut. They no longer exist. The Navi says, think of them as having gone underground. Think of them as being like a seed that's planted in the ground. And after a while, that seed seems to disappear, and it just seems to be part of the soil around it. But then suddenly you see that there was something there, because something comes out of the soil and it grows. And not only does it grow, but there are a lot of plants that when they grow, they start multiplying, and all of a sudden you have to separate them because there are so many. So it's as though they will grow and take others with them, and the realization of the true emuna will come upon them even while their bodies might still be very far away from Eretz Yisrael, or might even be far away from Hashem. But there will come a time when they and their children will truly recognize who they are and who they should be, and will return here to Eretz Yisrael.
You have to think of the Jews from the Inquisition, the hidden Jews, who maintained many of their practices in closets. They would put the Shabbos candles or whatever, and many of them are coming back.
And many of them who have recognized it today.
Right.
Yes, yes. And that's only one example. Yes, Dov.
Did I hear you say that the Navi is talking about Yehuda now?
He has brought in Ephraim. But he says, Esher Kalahem, you know, it's hard to tell. Vayuk Gibor Ephraim, no. He's talking about Ephraim. All this was Ephraim. In other words, from Zion, look at Pasuk Zion if you have the text. And from Zion, he is talking about Ephraim. In fact, yes, because the next Pasuk, I know there are still questions, is Vahashivotim Me'eretz Mitzrayim Ume Ashur Akamtzim. And Mitzrayim and Ashur is always the Aseret HaShvatim. Anidachim Me'eretz Mitzrayim, all the Nevi'im that use those expressions. So that's Ephraim.
But Yehuda went to Mitzrayim too.
But North Africa, you know, think of North Africa, in other words, the Jews, the Moroccans, the Tunisians, you know, North Africa, we're putting them in one basket. So whenever Veshavu, what is it, Veshavu Ha'ovdim, what do we sing? Yes, Me'eretz Ashur, V'anidachim Me'eretz Mitzrayim, right? So, and that is talking about the Aseret HaShvatim.
It seems to me that it's really talking about both, because he reads certain psukim, he mentions Yehuda, and then all of a sudden he's talking about Ephraim. And there is, I think, there's a medrash that among all of us who consider ourselves part of Yehuda, but there are some.
Oh, it's not just Ephraim. A medrash; it is absolutely true.
It's true that there are. So I think that Zechariah here is giving us sort of a mixed message that it's not just Yehuda and it's not just Ephraim.
That would make us all feel better, wouldn't it?
But I mean, if you read this pasuk, it says this, and if you read that pasuk, it says that. So obviously it means there's some mixture that we are not.
That we, yes. Very good. Rena, did you have your hand up? No?
I'm just thinking of all the people who are doing it not because they're forced.
Right, but just
what's happening with similar issues and intermarriage.
Yeah, that's shmad in a different way, totally. Yes, it's not forced shmad, but we're losing.
Yeah.
Did you have something to say, Marcel?
Is it possible that you think when you have the three keys, I don't know which one is the one that's supposed to grow out of which one, I've forgotten, but
Yechezkel.
It's supposed to come together and be something.
One tree, Vayula Etzachad. The wonderful, it's the Haftorah of Parshat Vayigash, if you remember, Kach Lecha, yes, take two pieces of wood, right? And one is Eitz Yehuda and one is Eitz Ephraim, and put them together, right, until they become Eitz Echad.
You have to end on a happy tone, on a happy note. I was reading
I think this is a very happy parrot, by the way.
I was reading a novel on the history in the 1920s and before World War I, and all the problems with the Russian and the Jews that are almost assimilated already. You know, they left the religion, but they were thrown out. And this one guy who, I won't go into what happened to him, but he said, for once I'm happy to be a Jew, because wherever you go in the world, there will always be Jews.
Wherever you go in the world, there will always be Jews to take you.
Wherever you know, I'm not saying going in a joyful ride. I'm saying wherever you're thrown out of your country and you go to some other place, there will always be a Jew there that will be family.
And the Navi is saying more, even when you think there are none.
Yeah,
even when you think there are none, they're below ground, right? Underground. They're there.
And Svatamet always says that every Jew, no matter whether religious or non-religious or whatever, even if he, an atheist more or less, has that pintle yid in him. He has a little bit of Jewish.
Which is the other way.
That's the seed.
Which is another way of saying what the Navi, this is a very, very positive perek. That the Navi is bringing to our attention. In other words, he is talking about Geula. It's very positive, it's very good. And we will even find the Jews that seemingly disappeared from our midst. Some of them at least. So, Shavua Tov, everybody. Enjoy the week, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll be together next week.